You don't think? Nodding, April said. And Joe Tenney, too.
Oh, my God, Kinski groaned.
The sheriff looked very interested. Well, was it before those deaths or afterward?
After, Kinski said immediately. I'm sure it was after. I would have never had anything to do with them if I thought... I mean, I wouldn't. I just wouldn't.
He sank his head in his hands. April thought he was going to cry. Emmons looked tired when she arrived, having driven halfway to Houston and back again. She asked to see April alone.
Are you okay?
The FBI agent asked, once the sheriff had led Kinski and his deputies out of the room.
I'm all right, April said. I was sure scared, though, until the police showed up.
That was damn smart of you, turning on your cell phone. I couldn't hear much, but it was enough for me to call the sheriff's office and turn around and head back here.
You might have saved our lives.
Agent Chavez arrived around 2 a.m. Kinski was in the next room, still babbling his story to a pair of deputies and a stenographer. From what April could determine from the sheriff, Roberto had remained silent as a clam. Roberto Rodriguez. He's got a rap sheet in California, the sheriff told Chavez. But he served his time, and he's clean now. There's really nothing we can hold him on, except Kinski's claim that he broke into his apartment and held him and Miss Simmons here against their will. Any two-cent lawyer will get him out on bail soon's the county court opens in the morning. Chavez turned to April. Did he break into the apartment? Glancing at Emmons, April nodded.
You can check the front door. The lock's broken.
The sheriff nodded. Let me talk to the man, Chavez said to the sheriff. Maybe he'll say more in Spanish. Hasn't said diddly squat in English. Hasn't even asked for a lawyer. Before Chavez could leave the room, April said,
He was calling somebody overseas. He tried several times, and whoever he talked to said the person would call him back.
The sheriff looked at Chavez. We got his cell phone in my office, along with everything else in his pockets. They headed for the sheriff's office, with April and Emmons trailing behind. The contents of Roberto's pockets were strewn on the sheriff's desk, a thin wad of folding money, some change, keys, a pack of tissues, a Swiss Army knife, and the cell phone. Sweeping the phone up from his desk, the sheriff asked the deputy sitting just outside his office, Has this thing gone off?
Yes, sir, it surely did, about an hour ago.
You answered it?
Yes, sir, I surely did.
And?
Some foreign fella, sounded like. I asked him who he was, and he hung up.
The sheriff's face flared into an angry red, but Chavez laid a hand on his shoulder. We can trace it, I think.
An overseas call?
Chavez said quietly.
I think so. With a little luck.
Lamar, Texas. As dawn was breaking, April dozed in Emmons' car while the FBI agent drove her back to her place. Once they were parked behind the apartment building, April roused herself.
I've got to get to the office, she said drowsily.
It took her two tries to get out of the car. Emmons slipped an arm around her waist and led her into the building.
You go get yourself some sleep. You've been through a lot. Forget the office for today. But Dan...
I'll phone Dan, Emmons insisted as they stepped into the empty elevator.
You get some sleep. That's an order.
April smiled weakly at the FBI agent. Emmons saw her to her front door, hesitated a moment, then went back downstairs to the parking lot. Chavez had parked his gleaming black Chrysler next to her rental and was sitting on his hood, waiting for her. Once he saw her, he got down and ducked back into his car. Emmons opened the passenger side door and slipped in beside him.
Still smells new, she said.
Chavez smiled at her. This is the first time I've driven her out of the Houston metro area. Didn't have time to requisition an agency car.
You can put in for mileage.
Yeah. Chavez glanced up at the apartment building. Is she okay?
I think so.
She was pretty scared by that Rodriguez character, and she's been up all night. Who hasn't? Emmons nodded, a little groggily.
Yeah, some sleep would be a good idea.
So what have we got here? Chavez asked.
You get anything out of Rodriguez?
Nada. He wound up asking for a lawyer.
What about that phone call from overseas?
The office is working on it.
Yawning, Emmons asked, So where do we stand?
Rodriguez will be arraigned for breaking and entering, maybe assault, too, as soon as the county court opens. He'll be out on bail 30 seconds later.
We should put a tail on him. Monitor his phone calls, too. He's our only link to anything.
Anything? Chavez snorted. What anything? All we've got on him is smoke and mirrors, not a shred of proof.
But if we keep watch on him, he'll lead us to whoever killed those two men and sabotaged Astro's plane.
Try telling that to the boss.
We can't let him get away. He's our only lead.
Chavez looked away from her. The office isn't going to pay for a watch on him. Not unless we can connect him to the rest of it.
But we can't connect him to anything until we learn more about him. Who he's talking to, who he's working for.
Catch 22, Chavez said with some distaste.
I'll tail him, Eamon said. He hasn't seen me.
Chavez started to shake his head. Eamon said stubbornly,
If the office won't pay for it, then I'll take my vacation time.
And do it without backup? Without electronic surveillance? Who do you think you are, James Bond? Eamon slumped down in the car seat. Chavez thought she looked like a disappointed kid. Listen, he said to her. We know Rodriguez works for a limo service in Houston. We can check their trip logs and see who he's been driving. That might give us something.
Check his phone calls, too, Eamon said grudgingly. We can do that from the office.
Nodding, Chavez turned on the ignition. The Chrysler purred to life. Let's turn your rental in, then I'll drive you back to Houston.
Aren't you sleepy?
You sleep and I'll drive. After a couple hours, we'll switch off.
Eamon nodded. He's a good partner, she thought. Nacho is smart and dependable. Too damned cautious, but he's got a family to worry about. I can thumb my nose at the suits upstairs if I have to. He won't. But that's okay. He can play organization man, and I'm the loose cannon. We make a good team.
Senator Thornton scrupulously avoided using taxpayers' money for her private purposes. Hiring a private jet and pilot to fly to Oklahoma cost a small fortune, but she paid for it with her own credit card. As soon as she got to the ranch, she phoned the airstrip and asked for the pilot who usually flew her to Austin. He showed up at the house half an hour later, while Jane was up in her room using her desktop computer to check on the afternoon's roll call votes in the Senate. She had paired her vote with Bob Quill's, so as far as the official record was concerned, she was present and voting. A tap on her half-open door caught her attention. Turning, she saw Yolanda's swarthy face.
That crop duster is downstairs waiting on you.
That crop duster is downstairs waiting on you,
Yolanda said. She had been a family servant all her life, as had her mother before her. Jane smiled at her choice of words. Anyone who flew an airplane was a crop duster as far as Yolanda was concerned. As Jane came down the stairs, the pilot was standing in the entryway, looking more like a field hand than anything else in his jeans and work shirt. He had flown ground attack warthogs in the Middle East, although it took several drinks to get him loose enough to start talking about his tank plinkin' days.
"Going down to Austin again?" he asked.
"No, Zeb, not this time. I want you to fly me to Astro Corporation Complex on Matagorda Island first thing tomorrow morning."
"You're going there on a Sunday?"
"Yes," Jane said, thinking, "Dan's office will be closed on Sunday. I'll be able to talk to him without interruptions, without lots of other people in the way."
Zeb's brows crinkled.
"That's a private airfield, ain't it? I'll need their okay to land there. It might even be closed of a Sunday."
"I'll take care of that part of it, Zeb," said Jane. "You just pick me up here at 7 tomorrow morning."
"7, right?"
He started to leave, then turned back with a shy smile.
Maybe I ought to pack a breakfast?"
Jane nodded.
"That's a good idea. Grapefruit juice for me, please."
The pilot left, and Jane headed back upstairs, thinking, "I'd better not let Morgan know about this. He wouldn't understand why I've got to see Dan." She wondered if she truly understood herself.
La Marsa, Tunisia. From the rooftop garden of the hotel, Asim al-Bashir could see the ruins of Carthage shimmering in the heat haze. The broad Mediterranean sparkled in the afternoon sunlight. Tourists and vacationers frolicked on the narrow beach. Expensive yachts and cruise liners dotted the glittering water. Sitting under the shade of the leafy trellis with a cool breeze wafting in from the sea, Al-Bashir looked out at the ancient ruins